It's an honor to be one of your speakers this evening. I hope that the words that I have brought are beneficial and edifying in the most holy faith. I want to speak for this evening for just a short while about church leadership. I want to begin by speaking about the offices of leadership that God has appointed. I invite your attention to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. There the Bible reads, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I want to make 4 points from this passage. Number one, he himself gave. That is, God created these positions in the church, these roles of leadership. These were not the inventions of mankind, but the origination came from God. Number two, though there were different roles of leadership, we need to recognize the roles and that they were to be appointed within the church. There were apostles and prophets long ago. Though they are not physically with us today, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, they still remain in the church through the word of God they teach. But when we talk about the roles of evangelists, elders, and teachers, those still exist today, and we need to consider what the Bible has to say about them. This brings us to our third point. Though the positions of leadership were established by God, God appointed congregations to promote men to these positions of elders, evangelists, and teachers. And I point out that congregations appoint men. They were not self-appointed. A man doesn't just decide one day he wants to be an elder in the church. He doesn't decide one day he's going to be a preacher and supported as a preacher. He does also not get to decide if he is going to be a teacher in the church. He is to be appointed by the role, and there is to be training that takes place. Think about a couple of passages here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writing said this, "To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." Titus chapter 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." The roles of an evangelist, an elder, and a teacher were to be appointed within the church, and there are qualifications for obtaining to the role. I think it's important that we notice that the role of a teacher exists, and that this was an appointed position, and that there are qualifications for meeting it. I think about James chapter 3 and verse 1. There the Bible says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment." What James is writing is that there is a role, and there are strict requirements that come with this. Whenever you take on the role of a teacher, he's not discouraging men from becoming teachers. He's saying, look, there are great responsibilities that come with this role. I think about how one preacher put it one time. He said, you know, over in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30, we have the parable of the talents, and the man was judged for not having used his talent properly. And so James is not teaching, just bury your talent if you have the ability to teach. Just bury it so that you don't receive judgment. No, what James is saying is there is a role, and there are great responsibilities that come with the roles. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, this point is made. The roles were given for three reasons. Number one, for the equipping of the saints, that is, for the providing training. Our members, our congregations need training. They need men to lean in that training and development. It says for the work of the ministry. Members in a congregation need leaders to lead and direct them in the work as it takes place. It also says there for the edifying of the body, that is, for the teaching of the word of God. Leadership, elders, evangelists, and teachers equip people, they lead people, and they teach people. And the church needs men to properly fill the roles that God appointed in the church. Think of another passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Notice what the Lord said there. "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that workers of miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles?" Answer is no. "Are all prophets?" Again, no. "Are all teachers?" Again, no. "Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The point is, no, not everyone fills every role that was appointed by God. There are qualifications for filling these roles. Now, a person might ask, why does he mention apostles and prophets there and then just teachers in general? I think there's probably two reasons why he mentions teachers here. Number one, because the church at Corinth apparently did not have an evangelist working with them or elders. Yet they did have teachers, and he's wanting to make the point to them that you need to have qualified men teaching and leading you. But number two, I believe the second point that comes from this is that all other positions of leadership in the church originate with that of a teacher. A man cannot become an evangelist unless he has first become a teacher. A man cannot become an elder unless he has first become a teacher. The role of a teacher is very important. I'm going to make three major points that I hope you'll take with you tonight. Number one, the office of the teacher is the basic building block of church leadership. We have to develop teachers if we are to have strong leadership in our congregations. Number two, one of the reasons we develop a lot of problems in our congregations, the reason we face difficulties many times is because we have not properly developed the role of a teacher within the congregation. Think about the church at Corinth. Paul is writing them and he's instructing them, and part of his instruction is to recognize the role of a teacher and properly develop it. Why? Because they have problems. They had divisions. They had gross immorality. They had idolatry, a corruption of the teaching on the hair, a corruption of the communion, and abuse of miraculous abilities. A lot of times people think if we just had miracles today, all the church problems would be solved. Yet they had miracles abounding, and they had tremendous problems. And what they needed was not more miracles. They needed teachers of the Word of God. And part of the solution that Paul gives them in giving them instruction, he also gives this 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunaeus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. But part of Paul's solution was send some teachers over there, some qualified men to go to Corinth, that they can help train people and help develop leadership that was greatly lacking within the church at Corinth. This brings us to our third point. I believe one of the reasons that we have a failing to develop the higher up levels of leadership, if you will, the reason we're not developing as many elders and as many evangelists in our day-to-day is because we have not properly developed teachers within our congregations. Think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 again. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The words pastor and the term teacher there share the same Greek article. And what it's presenting is that these roles are very much related to one another. You know, we've often said that whenever we appoint men to become elders within the church, we're not asking them to take on a job or responsibility they have no clue about or they don't know, they're not equipped to do. We're saying we're appointing them or recognizing them because they are already fulfilling that role. Now, the opposite of that is true too. If we're not appointing a lot of men to become elders within our congregations, and that appears to be the case, possibly, and I present to you that probably one of the reasons is we are not properly recognizing the role of a teacher and developing teachers within our congregations. We need more teaching. This is the point I want to drive home to you throughout the rest of our time this evening. As the body of Christ, we have to get back to developing, recognizing, appointing, and regulating the office of the teacher in the church. It has to happen. We're lacking leadership. We're lacking a development. It is just as much a form of digression to forsake the biblical pattern of leadership as it is to introduce multiple cups or Bible classes into our assemblies. We have to start developing God-appointed leadership. This takes us to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Notice this passage with me, if you will. We're going to make 9 points from it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Point number one, the office of the teacher was to be continuous or successive. Timothy is to train another man who can train another man who can train another man, that there might always be teachers developing within the church. Point number two, as an evangelist and a leader within his congregation, Timothy was to train men to become leaders. Elders, evangelists, teachers within congregations must develop other teachers so that it may be continuous. I've known many men who are great teachers, who are great evangelists, but whenever they died, the congregation where they were living almost died off because no teacher development had taken place. And that's sad. Point number three, there was a qualification for becoming a teacher and even for training. That is, a man had to be faithful. If a man is not faithful, neither should he teach. If a man is not faithful, he is not recognized for training. We need to recognize that. It has to be faithful men who are taken and trained. Paul said, number four, commit these things. That is the idea of a body of doctrine. That refers back up to chapter one where it says the pattern of sound words. There is a body of teaching that must be delivered to teachers, and teachers must take it and develop it and give it to the church. I think about Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. We have to teach the whole doctrine of Christ. And teachers have to learn how to deal with the doctrine and to present the doctrine and teach others the full doctrine of Christ. Point number five, though speaking is required of a teacher, speaking is not the only qualification of a teacher. There are many men who speak but do not teach. They do not know the body of doctrine. They do not present the body of doctrine to the church. They must teach the word of God. Number six, if you're a young man and you want to become a teacher within the church, train with someone. Look to the leaders in your congregation. Look to an evangelist. Look to elders and seek out training so that you can develop and be what God would have you to be in his kingdom. Number seven, leaders in a church are not obligated to ask young men to speak or to develop in teaching if they will not train. If you want to become a leader in the church, you have to train. You have to develop with older brethren in the church. Number eight, once you become a teacher, you have a responsibility to present the whole doctrine of God in good times and in bad, in season or out of season, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Whether it's good, whether people want to listen, or whether they don't, teach the whole word of God. If you do not, you will answer to God. Number nine, we must keep the roles distinct. There is a trainer and there is a trainee. We need to recognize which role that we are in and get after it. Are we in a training position? Let's train. Are we capable of teaching? Are we a teacher or a leader in the church? Look for young men to train, to develop them. There must be distinguished roles. I give you three pieces of food for thought for you to consider. Number one, are we providing training for young men? Is that something that we develop within our congregations? Do our young men that are wanting to teach, are they given opportunities? I think about the Lord Jesus. He spent 3.5 years teaching and training his disciples. Whenever he sends them out in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, that's not the first time that they've gone out and tried to spread the word. They were spreading it first in Matthew chapter 10 on the limited commission. They went out and taught a little, and they came back so that they could receive further training. How do we distinguish the roles of teachers and trainers in our congregations, and are we offering training? Number two, are preachers and teachers appointed and sent out? That's a question we need to start asking. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were sent out to do evangelistic work under the direction of Antioch. What do they do? In chapter 14, when they have completed their work, they come back to Antioch and they give a report of the work that they were doing. Even the Apostle Paul answered to a congregation that supported him and sent him out. Leaders were sent to the church at Corinth, as we notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 18, when Apollos was converted, he was a member of the church at Ephesus, and when he wanted to go back to Achaia or to Corinth, he asked permission and was sent by the leadership at Ephesus. He didn't just go out on his own. He was sent. Leaders and teachers are to be appointed and they are to be sent out. There's two things I want to talk about for just practical application. We talk about young speakers meetings. There are a lot of young speakers meetings that take place across the country. I don't know if those are the most wise thing for us to be doing. Men who are training, getting up and teaching everybody that's there. But beside that point, whenever we're talking about young speakers meetings, there are a lot of young men who are called in and asked to come teach at a meeting, and the men who are training them are never consulted. I present that that's not a following of the biblical pattern. Young men should be sent out, and if they're not ready to be sent out, they should not go out. I also think about weekend warriors is what we call them. Some men appoint themselves as evangelists or they appoint themselves as teacher. They have no congregation that they claim is their home congregation. They go out and they make their rounds and they're answering to nobody. That's not the biblical pattern of church leadership and teaching. Each man had a responsibility to his home congregation. Even Paul answered to Antioch and gave a report. That brings us to our third point. As a teacher, you have an obligation to your home congregation. I think about Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This verse is teaching that each person has a role, and we have to fill our role. Ephesians chapter 4 is teaching us what some of the leadership roles are. If you fill a role of leadership, fill the role that you were appointed to fill. Take a place in your home congregation. I don't care who you are, how much talent you have, how much knowledge, how much wisdom you have to impart. If you're not present and not involved, you're not helping the body of Christ. You have an obligation to a home congregation to be a part of leadership as they direct, not as you see best, as you see fit. I want to close with these two thoughts. Number one, there is an office of a teacher and it requires training. Are we seeking training? Someone might come to me and they say, Nathan, you know, there's nobody in my congregation who can train. That tells me, first of all, you have weak leadership. And if something doesn't change, a church is going to cease to exist. I'm glad people recognize that. What do you do in a situation like that? Seek out an evangelist, seek out another teacher, seek out an elder that you can go and that you can train with so that there can be teachers within your congregation. You have personal responsibility. I want to leave us with these words of the great psalmist in Psalm chapter 119, verses 111 and verse 112. This is for all teachers, for all leaders, for all men that grow up in the church. Listen to what he had to say. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. We have an obligation as leaders of God, as men to develop into leaders, to take the word of God and make it a lifelong commitment to train and learn more about God's word. We're never too old to learn more. May we ever be students of God's word, seek out other students to work with and to train, seek leaders and congregations who will present leaders for the next generation. I appreciate your time this evening.